episode of Let's Talk, Let's Think. I'm your host, Carrie Braggs. I'm glad to be back in the house with you once more. I apologize for my absence. There's been a lot going on over the past 2 or 3 weeks. And so, I put some things in order and got things on track. And so I am back with the long-awaited part 3 to this series that I was working on called Follow Correctly or Lead Yourself Astray. Follow Correctly or Lead Yourself Astray. So this was me basically talking about us as Christians, that this is not just one of those situations to where we just don't know the way, or we just can easily get caught up and not know which way we're going, but that it actually takes some doing. You know, it takes on our part making choices to say that I'm going to go this way instead of that way, as compared to, the directions are so confusing. I didn't know if I was supposed to get off on St. Charles Rock Road, or if I was supposed to go down and get off on 270. And, you know, it's just so confusing, you know. Now, I'll admit there can be areas and places like that in the Bible, but overall, in the big scheme of things, I think that there's enough teaching us directly and specifically saying, hey, this is how it goes, and this is the direction we're supposed to go in, to where it's like, you know, you're going to have a hard time standing before God one day trying to convince him, saying, oh God, I didn't, you know, when you see it there, you know, my bad. What? Is that how that's going to go? So I would rather put my time and effort into following correctly, or you just have to take the responsibility and accountability and raise your hand to say that I led myself astray. Because the word teaches that when we get caught up in sin and temptation, don't say that it was God that tempted us. It says that we led ourselves astray. So we need to acknowledge that. And so part 1 was letting go of the old man and embracing the new man. Part 2 was acknowledge that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And now part 3 is, if we don't listen, God turns us over to a reprobate mind. So once again, we start out, we leave that old man, we become the new man, and then we understand that if we live an unrighteous life, we will not attain heaven. And then step 3 within it, if we just continue to do our own thing and blindly live unrighteous and say, hey, well, God, he forgives me, God is love, and all these things, that he says, okay, if that's what you want to do, if that's how you want to think, if that's how you want to live, that's fine. I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. Now, the definition of a reprobate is an unprincipled person. An unprincipled person. So when you look at that, if you don't have any principles, that means you don't have any morals, any standards that you live by, and that you will do those things on the list of unrighteous things that we shouldn't be doing. And so it says that a reprobate is an unprincipled person. So when you have a reprobate mind, you have the mind of an unprincipled person. So you say, hey, I don't have any morals or values or certain things to stop me from doing wrong to people, or doing this and thinking this way and saying that and living how I want it. I have no problem at all with that. And so God says, you know, he tries to teach us the right way to go, but if we continue to want to walk that path, then he says, hey, I can't get in your way and forcibly stop you, but one day you will have to stand before me and take account of what you have done. And so within that, we take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. So I'm just going to read a little bit, then just kind of discuss some of it, and we'll just see how that goes. So it says, therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. So I'm going to stop right there for a second. So this deals with sexual immorality. It deals with lesbianism and homosexuality. And so as you see right here, I hear a lot of times that people say that the Bible doesn't say anything about homosexuality or being gay or lesbianism and things like that. It says that the Bible does not speak on it or against it and all these different things. But once again, as you see right here, as I read it, it says, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. So relations, relationships, this is how they speak on sexual relationships. And so it says, and men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another. So that tells you, hey, they stopped having the God-ordained relationships, sexual relationships with women, and then they turned their eyes on one another, and they had passions for one another. And then it says that men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And so I don't know how people say that they don't see it within there, but once again, we're talking about being turned over to a reprobate mind. So when you get to this point, you're just saying, nah, this is fine. God is okay with that. He's told you that he's not okay with that, but you have a reprobate mind. Once again, you are an unprincipled person to where you have made the decision to live your life how you want to live your life, which is this. It's fine. It's fine. God doesn't force anyone to follow him or anything like that. But it is a problem when we try to twist things within the Bible or twist things within Christianity to suit us. So the reality of it is, it should show you that this is a real problem if you are doing such a thing, because when people are talking to people about these situations and saying, hey, that's not how you're supposed to be living, that's a sin, people get mad. They get indignant and things like that, because someone is trying to tell them about what the Bible says about their lifestyle. And they get mad and they get upset about that. So if you don't want someone talking to you about the Bible and telling you that the Bible says what you're doing is wrong, how can you then turn around and say, I don't want to hear what you're saying, but you know what? I'm a Christian anyway, and I'm coming up in your church, and you need to change these things and accept what I'm doing and not call it sin. That's a reprobate mind. That's why it says, hey, you got some things going on that are very contrary to the word, and you have some things going on that are very contrary to the assembling of the body of Christ and what the body of Christ stands for. And also it says that they receive in themselves the due penalty of their error. This is disease. This is AIDS. This is HIV. These things that, once again, that that part of the body, anal sex, was not, the body was not set up for that. So that is designed to be a place that where waste of the body exits. So, I mean, it's just science. Let's go with that. I mean, you eat it, you consume it, it goes into your body, it is broken down within your stomach, and then it exits. It exits the body. That's what it's there for. So that's what it was designed for. And so when it says, you know, one way, and you're trying to go the other way, this creates a problem. So that's where AIDS comes in, and then, you know, diseases from the bacteria of having anal sex. But people want to sit up and, you know, for whatever reason, get caught up in their emotions and say it's not about that. You know, you see all these commercials about taking medicine and it's fine. Like, this is just something that happens within the gay community, as compared to the fact that because you are doing something that to the body that it was not designed to handle, it comes with this penalty of disease. So it's not just something just happens, and people in the gay community need to take these different medicines and just continue with your lifestyle. No, it's saying that if this is the lifestyle you're living sexually, you are going to get these diseases. This is part of what comes with this, just like with heterosexuals. If we're doing certain things, we get diseases as well if we're not using things properly. So what is there to argue about? Why is there an argument? You have a reprobate mind. When we do these things, we have a reprobate mind. Now, the thing of it is, nowadays everybody wants to argue and say, hey, well, I think this and I feel that and all these things. And it's like, we can sit up and argue. You know, people try to argue, and as long as they have the best sounding argument, then they think they won and all of those other things. And it's like, fine, you know, we can't convince anybody of how these things are supposed to go. Only thing we can do is tell them the truth of God's word and hope they accept it. But I'm not going to argue with you about something that I know is contrary to scripture. I'm going to tell you that, and I'll just leave it right there. And that's what God says. He's like, okay, that's fine. You want to worship the creature instead of the creator, and, you know, and all of these things. You all create these images. You create these gods. You create, and all these things. You want to worship that? That's fine. I'm not going to get in your way. And so in verse 28 it says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So that's indicting those who co-sign on it as well. I just want to make sure that we pay attention to that, because there are a lot of churches that co-sign on a lot of things because they're trying to show God's love. But it's not showing God's love if you're allowing someone to live in sin and blindly continue to walk that way. That's just like knowing someone who is doing drugs, and you know the drugs are harmful to their bodies, just like diseases are harmful to our bodies. And so if I love someone and I see them doing drugs, destroying their lives, and knowing that these drugs can kill them, if I love them, I'm going to tell them, hey, I love you. You have to stop this. This is hurting you. It's hurting the family. And you tell them those things. But it's not love when you say, hey, I accept you the way you are, and that's true love. That's not true love. That's not. That's us just trying to make everyone feel comfortable. And that's not how that goes. I mean, when you go to the doctor is not trying to make you feel comfortable when he comes in the office and tells you, hey, if you don't stop eating all of these greasy foods and they're clogging up your arteries, you're going to die of a heart attack. He's not trying to make you feel comfortable. He's trying to save your life. And last time I checked, that's love. Who wants to go to their doctor and have their doctor tell them, hey, looking good, everything's fine, when you could have been put on medication, or you could have done exercises or changed your diet and things like that and lived? I mean, nobody wants that. So let's just be honest about these things. So it's the same thing with all of these things. And he says that, you know, not only do people do these things, but then it says also, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them as well. So those who do them are guilty and turned over to a reprobate mind. But guess what? Those who co-sign on it or have a reprobate mind too and have been turned over to a reprobate mind. That's why many will stand before him that day. Remember when the scripture says where it says that in that day, they will stand before God and say, hey, didn't I preach for you and teach for you and live for you and do all these things and prophesy in your name and all of these things? And he's like, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Iniquity goes side by side with reprobate mind. He's sitting up saying, hey, you did all of those things trying to put on a show, trying to make it seem like you were representing me. But you were not representing me. You were just doing what you wanted to do and trying to put on this show for everybody else. But I saw who you were. I was able to look at your life and see how things were going. So it didn't fool me. It didn't fool me at all. And so it's like I said early on, he says that, hey, if you want to keep doing this, fine. Hands off. Hands off. And when you stand before me that day, you're going to have to hear me then. You're going to have to hear me. Scripture says that we all are going to stand before God one day and be judged. And so my question to you is, I'll leave you with this. Why wait till it's too late? Because once we're standing before God and we have to answer for our lives on that day, when we do that, game over. Game over. You don't get a second chance. That's letting you know yay or nay. Letting you know whether you made it or whether you didn't make it. Whether or not it's going to be well done, thy good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, and you will be cast out in outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what that said. That is not the time to them say, oh, you know what? My bad. Can I get a do-over? No. That's why it's so important for us to tell people the truth about these different things going on in their lives. Call sin what it is. Sin is sin. Let's quit trying to, you know, dress it up and make it look like something that it's not. Sin is sin, and we need to call it sin. Now, whether or not people want to accept that, that's on them. But as you saw right here in the scripture, it said that those who do it and give approval are guilty. So you can sit up and say, well, I wasn't doing that, but you told people who were doing it that it's okay. Come on in, brother. Now, everybody's welcome in church, yeah, but we come to church to change. We don't come to stay in sin. If you're staying in sin, what is the purpose of us coming to church? That's us coming to get help with our sin. So I hope that your heart and your mind was touched today, and you made a decision to take responsibility for yourself and ask yourself, were you living out something on this exhaustive list that it talks about? And as you see, this list has been given several times in the Bible. And so we cannot continue to pretend and say, oh, I didn't see that list. Oh, I didn't understand what God was saying. God never said anything about this or about that. Oh, but he did. But it's whether or not you're going to accept it, because he's at a point now that you started off, if you're coming to him, you should have made a decision that you wanted to be a new man. And then number two, you should have made the come to the understanding that this is unrighteous living, this is righteous living, and so if I'm a new man, I embrace the righteous living. But number three, if you're still looking at unrighteous living and righteous living, and you're deciding to stay over here with the unrighteousness but call it righteousness, you are blinding yourself and you have been turned over to a reprobate mind. So I pray for anybody that is in that state of mind. I pray for you that you humble yourself, that you soften your heart and heart, that God may be able to come forth to you, that he may be able to touch your heart and mind and allow you to see the Holy Spirit at work within your life. So I thank you for tuning in, and I just truly pray that it has been helpful, and please keep tuning in. Once again, I apologize for my absence for the past 2 or 3 weeks, but there have just been some things going on beyond my control, and now things are kind of, the ship has kind of been steady, amen? And so I'm back, and so I just pray that you tune in and keep being encouraged and keep being enlightened by God's word. So that's all I have for today, and I will see you next time on Let's Talk, Let's Think. I'm your host, Cary Braggs, and you have a blessed day.